Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, Isaac. Good job. Thanks for not preaching the same topic as me. Always get so worried before these things when it's two people. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, please give me one idea and him another idea, please. All right. Let me unlock my iPad. I'm going to get water as well. One sec. Okay, so the topic that I'm doing is the parable of the sower and the seed. So I'm basing my message off a message that I love, and I've gone back to many times from Dudley Daniels. It's on fruitfulness. You can check that out on the NCMI podcast if you're interested. And I was reminded of it again when asked to preach this week at my Bible study when we went over these scriptures. And I think it's such a crucial parable for us to understand as Christians, to understand all the other parables that Jesus taught. Jesus even says himself that in Mark 4:13, if you can't understand the meaning of this particular parable, how will you understand the rest? So hopefully, I'm going to bring some understanding to this parable this morning and learn how we can be fruitful, because who doesn't want to be fruitful as a Christian, right? Amen. All right, so for those who haven't read the parable, let's just read it in Matthew 13, 3, and we'll read to verse 9. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 13, 3 to 9. Okay. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. These seeds sprouted quickly because of the soil was shallow, but plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they don't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Amen. We all have ears, so let's listen and understand this. So the understanding comes in Mark 4:13. We turn there. Oh, sorry, Mark 4:14. I read Mark 4:13 at the start. The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. So if you're taking notes, these are two key important things to write down. So the seed that God sows is his word, and the soil is representative of our hearts. So in this first example, it talks about the seed that fell on the path. So some seeds among the path, as soon as they hear the word, Satan comes to take it away from them. I know if in my life, for example, I'm reading the Bible and you're getting so many distractions coming in your head as you're trying to read, or maybe you're sitting here today or another Sunday and all of these different things start to pop up, and that's Satan trying to take away that seed from you as soon as you hear it. So let's go to the next type of field. So that was the path. Mark 4:16, the seed on the rocky soil. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. So how many of us can identify with this one? I know I can. As a young believer, I get so excited hearing something on a Sunday morning or reading something and getting new understanding. And then I go, oh, tell my friend at school or something like that. And then they're like, what the heck? What are you, you're weird, you're a Christian, you're saying this. And they're like, oh, never mind. And then you hide back into your shell and just go along with the rest of the crowd. So those are the people that get excited, they hear the word, but then because they don't have foundations and deep roots, they don't get far past the initial excitement of hearing the word. And then the last bad soil is in verse 18, Mark 4:18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desires for other things, so no fruit is produced. So others like the seed among the thorns, the worries of life entangle them in the deceitness of wealth. And desires for other things, chokes the life and freedom from them. And we can use Isaac's example of him being worried about getting kicked out of the house. That's one of the worries that can cause us. Joe says, amen, that's his dad. So, Yeah, we all have these worries that come, you know, throughout our lives. You know, the Lord, as I think my last message was, it was on contentment and, you know, the things of this world that so easily like entangle us, like thorns, they crush us and they take the life that we could have. So the opportunity is there to be fruitful, but the worries, the anxieties come, going after riches, the wrong things, they hinder us. So I think all of us to some degree can fit into one of these fields. So I feel like I fit into all of them sometimes. And so I pray that just understanding this word, we can open our eyes so that God can change our hearts. Amen. So let's go to verse 20 now. The good soil, the good guys. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 as much as planted. I mean, who doesn't want to be that kind of soil? 100 times what's planted, the seed? So, amen. Let's look at a biblical example of this type of good soil, these people. Let's look at Acts 17, verses 11, and let's see how we can be good soil learning from these guys. Okay, so Acts 17, verses 11. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. These people were eagerly searching the word, trying to understand it. They were planting that good seed of God in their hearts. And the fruit that they bore in verse 12, it says, as a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. So they were fruitful. And you don't see a book in the Bible of Berea because they're clearly doing a good job. But there's Corinthians and there's, Ephesians and all these other churches. But Berea, I would have loved to read their book and learn a thing or two from them. But they were eager. They were searching the word. And so we see here, we're all designed for fruitfulness. God said in Genesis to be fruitful, right? But in order for us to be fruitful and bearing the right godly fruit, we need our hearts, our fields, to be good soil, not on the footpath, not rocky and not thorny. All right, so let's try to learn from this parable. Let's first ask these hard questions to ourselves. Let's try to identify the fruit in our life. And this can help us figure out what field we might be in at the moment. Let's reflect in the mirror of the Bible. What we can ask ourselves, what soil am I? Where am I getting the seed that's being planted in my field? And what fruit am I bearing? See, Jesus said, you will know the tree by the fruit. That's Matthew 7:20. It says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. So what actions are we producing? That's our fruit. What does our tree look like? When I'm under pressure, what comes out? The Bible says in Luke 6:45, the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. I don't like that one. That's a challenging one, that one. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it the mouth speaks. For everything you do flows from it. So if the heart determines the course of your life, is another scripture. I'm just throwing a couple more scriptures of truth in there. So where's our heart? Where's our heart today, guys? Where is it taking us? Where is it taking our life if it determines the course? So if we don't ask ourselves these honest questions and we don't face the fact we deceive ourselves forever. But the fact is, no matter what we've done, God still loves us. And if we let his word take root in us, we will change. That's the only way we can change. The lie of the enemy is that you can fix your tree on your own. You can do all these different things. You know, he'll keep you as busy as you can be trying to do all these good things. But the thing that brings true, real change is God's word, his seed, if we plant that in our fields. So your life and my life is a field. When we came to Christ, the potential for that field exploded. Every opportunity we get, every day we get opportunities to sow seed. And that doesn't, I'm not talking about seed just blurting out scripture here and there. It's about actually understanding the scripture and applying it to our lives. So when we walk out of this building, God's going to give us opportunities. Now we just have to decide what seed are we going to be sowing. Seed from, because if we're not sowing seed from God, the devil's going to make sure that we're sowing his seed. So we don't want to do that. We want to sow seed from God. Yeah. Isaiah 55:8-13. I think Claudia brought this up in worship. So my thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Oh, I've repeated that. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the grounds of the water. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Amen. So God's word produces fruit. His word will not return empty. It will accomplish what he desires it to, which is way better than what we desire. We desire it to. Amen. God only gives seed to the sower. If you aren't sowing good seed, let's start now. The harvest you're reaping right now is from the seed that you've sown in the past. If we read Galatians 6, 7 to 10, it says, Galatians 6, 7 to 10, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to only satisfy the sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. That's all of us around us. So whatever seed you sow, you will get. If you plant apples, you're going to get apples. You won't get oranges. God's word will accomplish what he says. There is no end to what God can do through us if we just start sowing the right kind of seed. Amen. Why don't we start to put this to the test? Let's start sowing the word of God into our life and see the fruit that it can bear. In Isaiah 55, 12 to 13, which is after what we've just read, it is the same as my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Then verse 12 says, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name, and there will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. So let's be that sign. Let's sow the word of God into our lives. Let's reap a harvest of 100 times. Let's ask ourselves these questions. You know, where is our hearts today? Let's ask God to change our fields to be that good soil. Amen. So I'm not here to condemn anyone today. I just want us to look at this. Let's reflect. Let's ask these hard questions. And let's let God change our hearts. Amen. Amen. Cheers.